That was wonderful. Make our Rally Sunday a little bit special this morning. We look forward to hearing you again. And I think they're going to be playing out where you pick up your picnic later on this morning. This morning's scripture came from the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel, of course, is not a book, but a message. The word itself means good news, and we Christians have been calling our message good news for more than 2,000 years. I mean, what else would you call God's promise that life really does make sense? That God is in charge and that God pardons all who confess their faults and truly seek to be forgiven. But even though the news is good, it is not necessarily easy. C.S. Lewis has a helpful comment on what Christian love involves. It would be quite wrong to think that the way to become loving is to sit trying to manufacture affectionate feelings. Some people are cold by temperament. That may be a misfortune for them. But it is no more a sin than having a bad digestion is sin. And it does not cut them off from the chance or excuse them from the duty of learning to love. The rule for all of us is perfectly simple. Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we learn one of the great secrets. That when you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love them. If you injure someone you dislike, you'll find yourself disliking them more. If you do that person a good turn, you'll find yourself disliking them less. I mean, consider the passage that Barry read in our scripture lesson. There Peter said to the Lord, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Now, in saying that, Peter was actually being very generous. Rabbis had taught that one should forgive as many as 3 times, but no more. Peter more than doubled the rabbinical limit, and perhaps he thought he would be praised for being so generous. Yet, generous or not, his limits were still limits. And Jesus, rather than praising him, replied, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 or 70 times 7. Now, with those words, Jesus not only expanded the limits, he destroyed them. And just to remove any doubts about his meaning, Jesus then told a parable about a servant who owed his master 10,000 talents, or about 150 years' salary for an ordinary worker. Now, of course, he couldn't pay off such an enormous sum, so his master forgave the debt. Then the same servant went to one of his colleagues, who owed him 100 denarii, or about 1 month's wages, and had him put in jail because he couldn't pay. In that parable, Jesus was pointing out that the debts others owe us are insignificant compared to what we owe God. Then he asked, "Should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you?" This message here is abundantly clear. God is a God of grace and love. And you and I are called to be filled with grace and love as well. But love does not have limits. Love does not ask how little it must do, but how much it can do. Anything less, whatever else it might be, is not love. And it's not good enough. So on this Sunday, when we begin a new church year, we contemplate Jesus' words. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. I'm sure that Jesus knew that what he was asking was not easy, and that it wasn't going to happen overnight, but it must happen somehow if we're going to avoid disaster as a civilization. And if it's going to happen at all, it has to start with us. It has to start with us and our everyday relationships with each other. Only if we learn to love and forgive at that level can we ever expect to have peace among nations. Nothing less than love will do, because nothing less can free us to live abundantly. I don't know if you remember, but it was about 40 years ago, almost 50 years ago, I think, Dr. John Schindler, in a little book, wrote the book, How to Live 365 Days a Year. And in that book, he pointed out that anger constitutes a major danger to our health. Ulcers, strokes, heart attacks, and many other health problems can result from unresolved anger. And I guess when you think about it, why not? That's logical. If God created us as beings for love, it's not so hard to believe that chronic lovelessness might take its toll on our bodies as well as our spirits. If we're going to survive, we have to learn to forgive each other. God demands it. The world needs it. And we may even be destroying ourselves without it. Learning to forgive is the only way, I think, that we can live at peace. Peace with God, peace with each other, and even peace within ourselves. But you know, I got to this point and I read what I had written to this point and I said, well, where is the good news in that? Not only are there times where I don't want to forgive, but also times when I find I cannot forgive, even if I wanted to. Try as I might, those same angry feelings keep rising up within me. Whenever I think about the person who hurt me, how can it be good news to be told that we have to do something we find ourselves incapable of doing? Well, the good news is that God enables us to do what we can't do alone. In the fifth chapter of Galatians, the Apostle Paul wrote that enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, dissensions, and party spirit are works of the flesh. These are the things that human beings are prone to when we're left to our own devices. But Paul goes on to add that we can have love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control as fruits or gifts of the Spirit. In other words, while I may not be able to forgive and live at peace by my own efforts, God's presence in my life can make it possible for me to do so. The good news is, I don't have to do it alone. The God who created me in the first place offers to recreate me and make me able to better live a life of love. When Leonardo da Vinci was painting the great masterpiece, The Last Supper, he had an intense and bitter argument with a fellow painter. And Leonardo was so enraged with this fellow painter that he decided to paint the face of his enemy into the face of Judas. That way the painter's face would be preserved for ages in the face of the betraying disciple. When Leonardo finished Judas, everyone easily recognized the face of the painter with whom Leonardo quarreled. Da Vinci continued to work on the painting, but as much as he tried, he could not paint the face of Christ. Something was holding him back. He decided it was his hatred toward his fellow painter that was the problem. And so he worked through his hatred by repainting Judas's face, replacing the image of his fellow painter with another face. Only then was he able to paint Jesus' face and complete the masterpiece. The gospel is not really good news unless we open ourselves to God's Spirit. Invite God to recreate us in the likeness of His Son, who even from the cross prayed for His enemies, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." With God's help, we can do the same. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, as we come to worship You this morning, we do remembering that each day is for us a gift from You. And so we offer to You our thanks for all of Your blessings. As we come to worship, we seek to grow, Lord. And so we ask that You help us to live with faith and hope and love. Lift our everyday routine above drudgery. As we seek justice in our world, let not our strength fail or our vision fade. Lord, make us patient and compassionate with one another, and forgive us when we hurt our fellow souls. Teach us a gentler tone, a sweeter charity of words, a more healing touch. Sustain us, God, when we must face sorrow. Give us courage for the day and hope for tomorrow. And day after day, may we lay hold of Your hand and look into Your face. This day, Lord, help us to realize that happiness lies in our relationship with You and with each other. Help us to find direction and inspiration in this worship and in doing Your will. It is in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.